Yeah, that earlier countdown doesn't matter on this recording.
Oh, it doesn't. There's no carryover.
No. No, no, the countdown, you have to, once you start recording again, then you do the countdown.
Right.
So that we can sync it up.
Right.
Are we letting people know too much about the show, about how it's done?
I know, because I'm learning.
But, yeah, people, if anybody wants to know why the sound quality is so good, yet we use Skype, that's why.
Because you count down?
The counting, yeah, we count from 5.
4.
Not now. I mean, we already did. We did it.
But if we do it again, will it be twice as good?
Let's find out. 5.
4.
No, I'm just joking. We're not
doing it. Oh, because then we could triple it right there.
Hello and welcome to episode 247 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. And with me, as always, is
Adam.
What is going on, Adam?
Just thought I'd throw you a curveball for my self-introduction.
No, you hung it out over the plate.
Yeah.
But you know what? I went left center gap with it. I'm not going to pull that.
Okay. Well, no, good for you.
Stay on the inside of the ball, my friend.
Nothing's going on.
It is fall now, autumn.
Officially,
as of Wednesday, which is late. That's the 23rd, but Wednesday means autumn, and here we are.
Yeah,
is it in the air?
Sure.
I like summer, and for me, if the all four seasons of the year were summer, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, me too. I like spring. Spring also good.
Yeah, that's because it's leading to summer. Spring is Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And Christmas Eve, it's hardly... spring is Friday at 3 o'clock, and you get off at 4. That's what spring is. It's nice. It's like, yeah, you can't go wrong. You're probably already drinking beer at 3 o'clock on a Friday, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Am I right? Yeah.
I mean, not you, because you're a doctor, but most... Well, maybe you are. Maybe you are drinking it. I don't know. I don't know how many surgeries you do at Friday at 4 o'clock.
Right. Right.
But, I don't like to see summer go, except for I kind of like fall. If fall led right back into summer after 2 weeks, I'd be in.
Just a straight revolving door between fall and summer.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Like no, 3 months nice. Of fall, 3 months of fall, and then 9 months of summer.
And what is it about fall that colors. You like? Yeah.
It's a lot of things. I think they've engineered it. They've socially engineered fall for us to not be depressed, because we should be depressed because winter's coming. And, you know, however, baseball playoffs are coming, and I like baseball playoffs.
Yeah, and the Blue Jays are good this year.
I've been watching. I'm watching on the MLB network, and it's fantastic. And by the way, I used to get the package a couple years ago, and the quality was, it was fine. You could see they're definitely playing baseball on that screen. But now it is like full HD live on the Apple TV.
So did you subscribe again?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
For the rest of the season. I didn't at the beginning of the season because I don't really care in April. But you can sign up in late in September and pay like $20 for the rest of the year or something like that. And playoffs. Right. And I was like, yeah, we're doing that. And now there's a time delay, of course, so I don't watch the game till the next day, but we watch it, and it skip commercials. It's great, but the quality is just amazing, and we watch the Blue Jays. Even though I don't really care necessarily specifically about the Blue Jays, I just like the fact that they're in the hunt, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good to watch. But we got that with fall. Thanksgiving is nice. Like you're gonna do Thanksgiving is like 2 weeks away, isn't it?
Yeah, I like to eat turkey.
Will you do turkey?
Oh, absolutely.
Because we will not here. I don't know if you can even buy a turkey here. Maybe you can. I don't know.
Amazon.
That's where I'm going to check it out and see if I can get turkey. I mean, they must have it. There's a French word for turkey, so they must have it in Europe. La dinde.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah.
I thought you maybe you knew it.
I knew it only from the cover of the Stouffer's turkey stuffing.
That's where the bulk of my French comes, is from the back of the English cans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Pois. Pois is peas. Okay. You know, no. We're gonna do pierogies and cabbage rolls here, but the point is this part of fall and the colors are great. So, are we still recording? This sounds boring.
No, it's super interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all just a matter of your state of mind.
Amazon. Yeah. You mentioned it. Click through. I've been buying a lot of stuff on Amazon lately.
Really?
I got bitten by the Amazon snake though today.
Okay.
I decided, you know what my kids need besides a good whooping?
Okay.
I wanted to get them like a bench that's also a toy box. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So you open it up and inside you put all their toys, boo, everybody wins, man. And they can sit there and smoke a pipe or whatever the kids do. I don't know.
Right.
So I've ordered a couple, and then they got here today. I put them together, and I realized I felt like that scene from Spinal Tap when all the props were too small.
Uh oh.
It's like, oh, those look a little bit small. Like, I mean, they're fine. The kids will be fine, but I thought, I mean, maybe my kids probably just have too many toys. That's probably the problem.
Right.
But it was a lot smaller than I thought. And that's on me because they put the sizes in centimeters on the iTunes, on the Amazon thing.
Right.
And I probably just kind of ballparked it in my head and thought, oh, that's going to be huge. It wasn't. It was tiny. So my kids now have a tiny little Stonehenge bench with toy box.
Can they both sit on the bench at the same time?
Well, I bought each of them. I bought two of them.
Oh, okay. They have their own benches. But yeah. Could they theoretically both sit on one bench?
Like if one was on like their shoulders like a totem pole?
No, then yes. Side by side.
Oh, they could. They could do that. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. All right. So it's less of a bench and more of a stool.
Yeah, something like that. But anyways, but yeah, lots on Amazon. But, you know, hey, if you're doing the same thing, if you're buying the extra small toy box, click through our site. Help us out. You know how else you can help us out, Adam? Not you, but other people.
Just send us money?
Well, yeah. That one seems a pretty bit obvious,
or just gear. Send us cameras, sure, and lenses and stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not pandering so much this time.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You know what will help us out, though, is an iTunes review. Or any review. I mean, if there's any other reviews, I honestly don't know where else they do reviews. Where do they aggregate podcast reviews besides Twitter, I suppose?
It's,
I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like every podcast, I don't know, what are they called, distributors, every podcast site has their own subsection of reviews, because I've been on different podcasting sites and they're separate. So I don't know, do they have a place that kind of, you know, does a meta-analysis that puts them all together and under one roof?
I don't know.
And it seems like more and more places that sort of, I don't know, house all the podcasts keep popping up. I don't know. Yes. How they make money, because most
really
of the podcasts are free that they're, maybe it's just advertising. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but
volume.
They're popping up left, right, and center.
They do. Yeah. There is a market for it. And, I think they split revenue is what the best I can just discern from it. Anytime you can split revenue, I think you're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
The one downside is you have to have revenue.
Right.
Yeah. So that the wrinkle comes in. But so what I'm getting at is
put
iTunes,
in a review.
Yeah, put in a review. Good. Like, here's the thing, and I'm being completely honest here. Good or bad, I don't care.
Oh, like, I love it when they rip on you.
Oh no, don't rip on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Rip on the show or Adam. Or his kids. I don't care.
Okay.
But no. I don't care. Go ahead and rip on us. That's fine. I'm totally cool with that. My point is, as long as it's honest and possibly constructive. It doesn't have to be. Like if it's like, you guys suck, then that's, I mean, go ahead, do it anyways, because you look like the idiot. But not you, the reviewer, I mean.
Right.
But if there's something you don't like, go ahead and put it on there. I don't. I'm okay with it. You know, that's fine. But it would. I think it would help us out if we were to get more reviews in iTunes or other places.
Okay, I'm gonna write a review when I'm finished. I'm gonna write a review right now.
I'm thinking of doing the same. Do you ever buy Swedish furniture that you have to put together yourself?
Not anymore. I made this proclamation to my wife, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, and I said, never again. I said, yeah. I will only buy furniture that somebody else puts together. I mean, unless it's like, you know, a three-piece kind of, but anything, you know, that's comes with the booklet and 600 pieces and takes you the better part of a day to put together, I am happy to pay more to have that already put together. So we bought bedroom furniture not that long ago, maybe 6 months ago, and did not go that route. Went a much more expensive route and a much more satisfying route, which is the people came in, put the stuff together, the end, done.
Right. Now, that being said, when I'm in Vancouver, I know where to go. And so over here, I'm having trouble finding things that I like. Not that IKEA has the things that I like necessarily, but they had a couple. But here's where I'm going with this: is this week they had a couple things that we needed.
Okay.
That we kind of had to go to IKEA and get them, like a dining room light and just some stuff that I honestly cannot find it. I've looked everywhere for something reasonable, can't find it.
Lighting though isn't so much of a problem at IKEA.
To me it's not so much the putting together part. It's the whole IKEA thing. Like I'm okay with. I would like to. I think IKEA generally is something that you graduate from.
Mm-hmm,
like when you're a student or you're just a young family starting out, then you move on and you buy real stuff. But or maybe if you're living overseas, because I end up seeing quite a few Americans at the IKEA here.
Okay.
Because I'm assuming they just got transferred over, you know, with the military, and they're going to go and, you know, furnish their apartment, and that makes sense to me. Anyways, that being said, we do have a lot of IKEA stuff. But so here's the thing. We go to IKEA this week. We had to go and get some lighting and some other, a couple other little things. And we're on a time crunch. We have a hard out that we have to be wheels up so we can go pick up the kid from kindergarten. Okay?
Okay.
So we have my son with me picking up the daughter at kindergarten, but we have to do that right on time. Obviously, you can't just leave your kid hanging there an extra half an hour. I don't know how it works in Canada, but that's not how it goes here.
Mm-hmm.
No, so you have a hard out.
They would get mad, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but I have it all planned. We leave early in the morning. We go and do it all. I don't eat anything, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grab something at IKEA. I'll get the meatballs. I don't care if they're made of horse. It doesn't matter to me. I'm all set.
Okay.
I'm going to have the meatballs. I don't care. 30 meatballs for a dollar, that's a good deal for me.
Sure.
Whatever. So we go do our shopping. We're actually, rather than eat, we're going to pay first because we want to make sure we get all done and have time. We go to pay and it's getting down to the crunch. It's like, okay, wait a second. We're not gonna have time to go back upstairs in the cafeteria.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I recalibrate my expectations and think, you know what? I'll just grab something at the little cafe they have here on the way out. I'll grab a 50-cent hot dog or whatever it is. I don't care. I'm doing that. This is while we're in line to pay, the big line to pay.
Right.
We get to the front. Just as we're paying, all of a sudden the lineup for the cafeteria goes out the door. Just a mass of people. Like it's like an hour-long lineup. And I'm furious. Do you know who it was?
No.
High school kids.
Oh, yeah. Everyone coming over for their cheap lunch.
Yeah, they didn't buy anything. They're not assembling any furniture on an empty stomach. They're just coming over here and having hot dogs.
Yeah, because they're, you know, two for a dollar.
What right do they have coming over during their lunch break? A, that's A. And B, would you ever do that when you were in high school?
Don't think so.
At what point when you're out back, you know, smoking cigarettes with the cool kids, did they ever say, you know what we should do? Let's head on over to the IKEA and get some lunch.
No, I don't think it would come up, but we didn't have an IKEA close by. So maybe it would have if it was right beside our high school.
I still say no.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was furious for a good 2 hours after that.
Yeah.
And I don't even like kids of today anyways.
Right.
For other reasons. Just because I'm old. And here's the thing. Here's how I knew I was a grouchy old man. It's because I wasn't even mad that they were eating hot dogs and getting in front of me. It was their posture.
Mm.
They were all just slouching around like mopes.
That's what did it.
That's what did it. But I had to go, when I got to the car, I had to have a long look in the mirror and say, you are a grouchy old man now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
I don't think that was the turning point, though, by the way.
That was my self-realization, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. So.
Oh, but photo caveat for IKEA, great frames there. Very, very yes. Nice, good quality, and inexpensive. Like, I love the IKEA frames. Every time I make a trip to IKEA, it's generally speaking to pick up a few frames, especially for presents. I like to keep a few different sizes kind of socked away under the bed so that if I want to give a photo present, I've got the frames chambered.
I normally buy some, and this is one of the first times I've been there. I haven't picked up a few frames just on principle for that exact reason. And nowadays, like it's because of the way you can just walk into a London Drugs or wherever, well, you pick your own, you know, printed photo place.
Mm-hmm.
You could basically be out with somebody, snap a photo, walk in, get it printed, hand them the frame that you have in your trunk, and they have a framed photo in like seconds.
Yes. But what I will say is, because I just recently had this experience, I wanted to make my mom a photo collage for her birthday, like got a bunch of photos printed and all just 4x6s, but was going around and looking at some of the typical places. Michael's, went to London Drugs, and looking at their photo collage frames. Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff, and we're talking stuff that's pretty expensive, is so cheaply made that it's mind-blowing. And so coming back to the IKEA thing, I haven't seen a photo collage kind of frame there, but their quality for the price when it comes to frames, I'm just talking frames here, is extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, I've got them hanging all over my house, and they've stood the test of time, and I'm really happy with their frame quality for the price compared to what I'm seeing at other places. London Drugs has some nice frames. They're just very expensive.
They're expensive, and they are usually too fancy for my liking.
Yeah, a little bit fancy. And Michael's is like, I don't know, in my opinion, just colossally overpriced. And everything is like, okay, we're going to charge twice as much, but we're going to give you a buy one, get one free. Like, I don't know what that's all about. I'm like, I don't need two of them. And once I buy two of them, they're the same price as they would be for one anywhere else. But now it's good business model for them if everyone just buys two.
On the plus side, nobody eats their hot dogs.
That's true. That's true. So I'm never eating a Michael's hot dog.
You can roll through there pretty quick. you're all set. Oh, yeah. Kids.
Yeah.
So what is? We already asked what's going on.
I did. Oh, I have another photography caveat because
that's what I'm getting at.
We talked about last week, or I talked about that. I said I was going to do a photo shoot on the weekend. Just we podcasted.
Group shot.
Yeah, on a Friday, and I was set up to do a family big group shot for people on the Sunday. So kind of a situation where they had a large family coming in from a lot of different places. This was kind of like a wedding in a sense that we had pre-booked this date like, you know, 2 months, 3 months prior. Mm-hmm. And it was happening on this day, whether not likely to get in the way. It was rain or shine is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, the Sunday, it was miserable. Like, and
oh,
so
no.
I'm in Richmond, probably 25, 30 minutes ish, maybe a little further from where we're doing the photo shoot, which is in one of our kind of favorite places in Vancouver at Kitts Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming from North Vancouver, but from all over. They're coming from, you know, all the surrounding areas around. And so we're meeting down at Kitts Beach. And so, you know, I'm looking at, you know, weather apps and whatnot on my phone and seeing the weather is not good anywhere. But the biggest downside is it is incredibly windy that day. Mm-hmm. Like, unbelievable. There's power outages around the city. It is so windy. But again, I'm in Richmond. I don't know exactly how it feels in Vancouver. And so I contacted them and sort of said beforehand, like, we're 2 hours out. And I said, you know, are we still doing this? Do you still really want to do this? I know that the weather isn't very good. And they were basically, yeah, we're doing it because it's too hard to get everyone together. And this is the day. They're all coming down. They're going to come for dinner at the parents' or grandparents' house afterwards. So they're doing it on this day. And I say, okay, no problem. That's fine. And we went down there. And so I don't know. I don't have a ton of experience shooting this size of a group shot at the beach in a monsoon. So this is all new for me. So we go down there and you know, it's overcast, and so I quickly realize that, like, there's no way I'm going to use any extra lights. For one thing, they'll be, like, you know, into the ocean in about 3 seconds if I'm going to set anything up. Mm-hmm. And I just can't imagine dealing with that extra variable with what we're already dealing with. So the winds are so high, there's huge white caps. Of course they want, you know, a picture that's going to have, you know, some beach, some city background, like the stuff that says Vancouver,
sure,
which I'm fine with. But as you know,
they want the August sunset Vancouver, though.
Yeah, they want that. And again, I can make a picture with all those things, but it's at this point, it's just sprinkling rain. The huge waves crashing in the water. There's beached boats, like the waves are so big, like right on the kit side. There's beached boats, and so we go down to the water from that vantage point to get some city and everything. And nobody's hair can stay. Like, they didn't pre-think this, and neither did I. I don't have long hair, so it wasn't on the first thing that I was thinking about. But nobody had, like, you know, a way to restrain their hair.
So was it Donald Trump?
Oh my gosh. Well, the women, like, half the time, their hair is, like, completely covering their face, like a sheepdog, right? Like, the hair is just everywhere. And there's, you know, there's little kids, and then there's all the way up to the grandparents. And so, again, 14, 15 people, imagine trying to get a nice smile, mm-hmm, against all those people. Try to get everyone looking at the camera with this background of wind and hair, and oh my goodness. So I again, not having to worry about lights or recycle time, I snapped off, you know, a bunch of photos in one location, just hoping for the best. There's no way you're going to check on your LCD to make sure everybody's looking, everybody's eyes aren't closed, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I just kind of look at exposure and whatnot and think, okay, those look good. And then shoot another location. Again, those look good. And we did 3 or 4 locations. And again, all composition, all that stuff in check. And then I get home and I'm going through. And again, on a group this size, there's just no win.
It's what's always the size? 20?
I want to say about 15.
Okay.
And so there's no one photo where you ever really get everyone looking, smiling, without some other interference, without someone's hair completely, mm-hmm, across someone's face, without someone whose eyes closed, because again, of the wind, it seems like there's a lot of eye closing, without somebody making a weird screwball smile. So I was going through it going, well, I mean, I guess this is the best you're going to do. And so then I got creative and I started on a few. I'm like, okay, well, 95% of the people are looking and smiling. And so then I did a few face transplants. Do you ever do this?
I have done face transplants, yes.
I did it on 2 photos.
I took Nick Cage and Travolta and switched them.
Yes, exactly. But, mm-hmm, basically, because I had multiple shots, like literally milliseconds apart,
yes,
I basically just, you know, swapped one guy's face because he was closed eyes and everyone else was good. Because you'd get that.
No,
you'd
okay,
get
14 okay, but now out of 15. With the face swap. Now, I've done this.
Yeah.
However, my tip for doing the face swap is do not tell the people that you're doing the face swap.
No, no, never. No,
because
I'm not
telling
them.
Because the second you tell them, the next person is like, well, could you actually swap my face?
Yeah.
Because that one's
no,
a little bit. And then next thing you know, you're like, I'm just going to quit.
Yeah, and I only did it on two photos because I kind of, they were looking for, you know, the group shot that they're going to frame and put everywhere. And so I wanted to make sure that there was at least two of those available and in different sort of setups. So, and again, these were situations where I love the photo outside of like one person's face just did not fit with everything else. And so, yeah, I just swapped them out with the next face. But in a group this large, the bottom line is you don't get it perfect. And because it was so windy, they couldn't even hear me 20 feet away. Like nothing right. I said was registering to them. So I couldn't really, I was basically, they're posing, they're doing it. That's it. I'm going to shoot it and hope for the best. And fortunately I did wind up with some pretty nice photos, and then it started raining. And so I was prepared. I channeled my inner Al Allen and had a Ziploc bag in my camera bag, and I whipped it out, and I basically just poked a hole on either end. So it was the big size Ziploc, and I just wrapped it right around my camera. And because I was using the, I think I was using a 50 millimeter lens, it's nice and short. So I had no problem covering the whole camera, the lens, everything. So really, I'm just kind of using it like a tunnel to pass my camera through. And I thought that worked great. I will 100% make sure that I keep that for any of these kind of weather precarious kind of photo shoots. But all in all, in the end, a little bit more Photoshop time than I would have liked, but the results were good. And I think that, you know, when they look back on it, they're going to love it for the fact that you can't hide what was happening environmentally. Like the hair in some of the shots actually works. Like when the kid's hair's whipping and it's straight back and pulled out to the side, it's pretty unique. You can't create it without that kind of environmental hazard.
It's nice to have that. Now, my one, when I face this, when it's like, I know I can't get a picture with everybody looking and smiling and doing that. My one thing, my first question I ask myself is, which one of these people is cutting the check? So I have those 20 pictures. I'm like, I'm going to pick the one where they look the best. And then after that, everything else just kind of falls into place.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah. Great. Well, I guess, I mean, did they like them?
Not sure. Not sure, because this is a situation where, again, I sent the, and this is what I was griping about last time, I sent the pictures with a link to the folder, right? So I sent an email and sent it to the parents, who I don't think use their computer very often. Right. And I asked them, oh, who's the best person to send it? Of course, to the grandparents who don't use the computer.
Sure.
And so I sent them an email saying, you know, here's the photos, you can access them. Please let me know that you're able to access them. Didn't get a word for 2 days. Uh-huh. Then sent another email saying, did you get the photos? Just please let me know that you're able to get them. Just confirming that you got them. No response. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they got them. I think at some point they're going to turn their computer on. I don't know. And again, I it couldn't have come at a more perfect time in terms of my rant about just not getting confirmation back about this kind of thing.
Maybe they'll write a review of our show next week.
Maybe they will. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways,
probably big podcast fans.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go with this issue. I said enough last time, so I'm going to let it go. I'm getting angrier as we talk about it.
Photo challenge, and let's get right into the photo challenge. This week was chill because, as I said, the weather is getting chillier. Not in the middle of the day, you're fine, right? This is the time of the year. I know it's the same back in Vancouver. I used to live there, where, you know, middle of the day it'll be in like 19, 20 degrees, and then, you know, but morning it'll be 4. So you'll leave the house, you'll have to have sweaters, and then in the afternoon you're sweating.
Right.
I hate that. Not a fan.
I don't like to sweat for no reason.
Or ever. Or for a reason. I don't even like a reason. However, but the weather's chill, you know, getting cooler, so let's do chill.
Okay.
You want to go first or second?
It's up to you.
No, I'm asking you. Don't do that.
Let me go first.
Okay, here's your chill. Which one are we doing?
The one that says challenge, not the alternate, the first
not the
one.
Alt,
yeah, just the okay. Challenge, yeah,
okay, boom, there we go. Coors Light, it's in a vented can.
Yes,
this is chill
covered okay. covered with ice.
Here's the thing that I'm going to go ahead and guess, that Coors Light has been sitting in your fridge for 8 years.
Oh, at least a year. I don't really ever drink. A glass of wine maybe once every 3 months, but I'm not really. So I think my father-in-law at some point, you know, or my brother-in-law, someone brought beer over, and never in a million years would this be my choice if I was going to have a beer. But they brought some beer over. It's been in my fridge, and I looked in. I'm like, oh, chill. I'm gonna do something with a chilled beer, because I mean that's something different. And so sort of did a product photography shot.
Okay, and so what's going on here? What's that background? What's the out of focus thing?
That is my background. I used once before, and I promised at some point to use it again. That's, yeah, exactly, with the ice watch. This is the auto shade. Like, I sometimes use it as a silver reflector, and it's an auto shade that's only maybe, I don't know, 6-7 inches behind the can. So I shot this on super wide open. That's the at a 1.8 or a 2.0, like, again, very wide open. And I don't even remember. I think it was an 85 mil lens. And I just basically surrounded it with ice, and then it's video light. So I basically one light here, it's video light, and I put a little piece of white paper towel on camera left, so the light's kind of above and slightly camera right, and then a white piece of paper towel to act as a bounce on the left. You see it bouncing back on the left side of the can, and then I basically just fooled around in post, and I posted another photo, basically exact same setup, and edited it differently just to show, that was what the alternate was, to show how wildly different the final image could look just in post-processing. And this is probably, you know, a completely different topic for another day, but just put them up side by side just so you can see what I'm talking about.
Because
same background, same ice, same lighting, and just completely different looking image.
Different distance from camera to subject, though.
Again, a slightly different distance, but just look at like at the color tones and everything. Like, it completely changes the image. So one is like the first one. I mean, I basically drained out all the highlights.
Right.
So I've taken the highlight slider, dropped it right down. And the other big difference in the photo, which completely affects the final outcome, is the darker one, the second one, the alternate image. I've used kind of like the dark vignette. So like the you know, you can use that post-cropping vignette slider in Lightroom and take it to the dark side. Or in the first one, I've taken it to the white side so that the vignetting is actually light.
You're removing the vignetting.
Yeah, but going the other way so that it makes essentially like a white cloud around the outside.
Okay.
So it's like the reverse. You know how, have you done that?
Sure.
The vignette will go dark, or it'll create a vignette, but with a white vignette.
Okay.
So I'm just gone, taking the vignette slider the other way, and again, dropped all the whites, dropped the highlights. And so the first image you get, I liked more because it said chill more to me, like just the fact that ice is so white versus... It almost seems like in the other one, like the ice looks wet. Like it's a silvery image. I like the first one. I was trying to decide which one I like better. But again, totally different shot with almost every other variable the same other than the post-processing.
Gotcha. Yeah, it does look like the ice is melting.
Yeah, and it actually is because of the heat of the video light is pretty close. So that's it. Just playing around with product photography, and not much else I have to say there. So
now is this like the technique wise? Did you kind of, you know, hone something that you would use in the future?
If I was doing a product photography shot, and this is why I was able to put this together pretty quickly. Is because I learned that what that auto shade does as a background for a small photo, kind of like, you know, they sell those little white light tents for product photography. You've seen those little light tents?
Yes.
Well, this is my home version of a little silver light tent, and you can affect the background differently by, you know, like you say, how you play with the post-processing. Last time you'd made a mention, because it shows up, you get a bunch of these green highlights in that background based on the bounce of the video light against that silver. It almost creates like a green bokeh in the background.
Okay.
And so I took your advice from the last time I did this, and I pulled all the greens out. So in both of those images, I've basically desaturated all the greens, and so then you lose those completely. So in those honeycombs in the background, those in-betweens would be green, but of course it becomes a little bit distracting from the silver and whites that are the image.
Right.
What do you think preference-wise, the dark or the light? Do you have a...
Oh, the light one.
Yeah, you like the light one too.
Yeah. Also because it appears to me to be in better focus.
They're both super shallow, so you get just part of the sea, and then it, the middle of the can, just that slight difference, drops out of focus. Then as you come back into the can a little bit more, a little more focus, and again, I just kind of wanted the cold of the can. Like, I wanted that can kind of to be the character that stood out, like the that see all the kind of, like, I don't know, almost the crystallized kind of look of the water on the can. That's kind of what I was, my chill part of it.
Got it.
I thought you could figure out that it was a Coors Light can, regardless of how much of that lettering was in focus.
Oh, yeah, I saw the coup. That tipped me off, and the font.
Yeah.
Good.
So there you go.
Okay. Let's have a look at mine. I shot this morning, because guess what? I forgot that we're doing that we did. And we do a photo challenge every week, but you know how often I forget and do mine Friday?
A lot.
Every time.
Yeah.
Okay, 50 times a year.
Okay.
It's just twice where I'll accidentally shoot it ahead of time. But this one, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I had my kids loaded, ready to take them to kindergarten, and then said to my daughter, do you want to help daddy for a minute? And the answer is always no.
Yeah.
I want to kick daddy in the throat, thank you.
Yeah.
But she said yes, and so I said, okay, great. She was already wearing this. I said, like, it was actually cold this morning, and I said, okay, well, just jump out, go stand in the middle of the street, and I'm just going to quickly grab my 5D Classic with the 70-200, and I'm going to quickly grab this. I said, sweetie, just grab around your neck, like you're kind of covering, you know, kind of covering, because it's cold, so you're kind of pulling your jacket shut, and look at me, and boom, done, like under 30 seconds.
Okay.
Nice little cloud cover this morning, nice even light. Didn't like this at all, and really just a snapshot. And I like it. I mean, will it wind up on my wall? Maybe it will. But I really like this photo, and more so because, you know, obviously it's my kid. Mm-hmm. I like the colors. I like, you know, like the look on her face, the pose, all that stuff, the composition. I like everything like that. But the best part for me is how simple it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how little time it takes to do this, and how little money. You know, if you were to just walk out now and buy a used 5D, you don't even need a 5D at all. You could use a crop sensor camera for this, but you would need a 70-200, and right. And you know, the 5D is not going to hurt. But under $1,000, you're going to get a great setup and be able to snap this photo without much effort. So that was my takeaway on this.
Okay.
Also, I did, in terms of post-production, while we're talking about it, I did shift the color palette a little bit cool.
Definitely. That's what I noticed, is that you definitely cooled this off to kind of give it more of the chill feel.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. I shot it at regular daylight, which on the 5D Classic comes in at like 5,000 mm-hmm. Kelvin, and I think I shifted it down to like 4,600 or something like that, 4,700. So it's not a ton.
Yeah.
It actually was cool. The light was cool this morning, but I shifted it a little bit more just to make sure. And in the background, like just on the top left of the image, is some shrubbery that's very, very green. But that green doesn't necessarily yell autumn and chilly weather. So I, like yourself, desaturated the greens out of this image.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's perfectly acceptable. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat and say I love it. Like, I definitely, there's much better photos that you've taken of your kid. That's fine. You're, like you say, it's a very good snapshot.
Yes.
The light is a bit flat for me. Like, that's what there was, and that's what you shot. But again, there's no direction to any of this light. Like, it's fine.
If there was more light.
And again, if there was something more going on than just a headshot, but I know that this won't go on your wall. I'd be very surprised if it did, just because I just think that you have much, much better photos of
this
daughter.
This might go up. I don't know.
Just to prove me wrong, put this up on your wall.
No, I'm going to put it on your wall.
I'll put it on your wall. Like you say, I like it. And as a snapshot, you're absolutely right. And the depth of field and all that's great. Expression I don't love, and like I say, the light doesn't do anything for me.
Okay,
that's just my opinion.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
You don't have to sugarcoat it.
I patted you on the back last week and said all those good things about you. This is, you know, I will give the credit when the credit is due. You've got to earn it more, though. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I'll sleep tonight no matter what you think.
No, you're gonna lay awake thinking about this.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, was Adam right? Am I a complete sham?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, that was off the air. That was off the air you said that. Sorry, I got confused.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's not all towels slapping or snapping and high-fiving around here.
No. Sometimes it's the hard knocks. Sometimes yeah. You got to go talk to the, what do you call it, the general and get cut. I forget what it's called. I've never actually seen the show. I've only heard of it.
Okay.
This week's topic comes from a listener question, and is IS worth it? Now, we've talked in the past about how to keep your image stable. You use something called image stabilization in Canon called IS. Nikon calls it VR, vibration reduction, and whoever else calls it whatever else they want. But essentially, it's in some sort of little black magic and trickery used to keep your camera more stable than you can. Okay. That's what it is. Now, the listener question comes from our listener named Aaron Moran.
Okay.
Who, by the way, loved him in Happy Days. He played Joni. So, good job. She loved Chachi. I don't know if you remember the show.
Didn't watch that one.
Okay. Big Scott Baio fan, nonetheless. Anyway, so here's what Aaron had to say. I managed to listen. I cut this down. It was a rather long email, so I condensed it for the podcast version. So we pick up in the middle. I managed to listen to every episode in just under 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of rambling from you boys.
Okay. More so rambling from you.
So he evened it out there. So my current setup includes the Canon 55 to 250 millimeter variable aperture lens.
Right.
I don't really care for it, he said.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. It's because it's like Adam said, to quote Adam. I know for the past year or two, it's been the 85mm fanboy party with you guys.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I can't deny that.
Yeah.
Although fanboy sounds negative.
No, I like it.
Connoisseur, I prefer.
Okay.
But he has 100mm macro, and so he says that's pretty close in range, and he'd have a hard time justifying buying an 85.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I said, you know, not the same lens, they do different things, but reasonable. It's I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm leaning towards the Canon 70 to 200 f4, but mm-hmm. not sure if it's worth it to buy the upgraded IS version.
Right.
I can get the non-IS used for around $500 and yep. save the rest of my cash to put towards another speed light or two. I don't think the non-IS would be an issue outside in the summer, of course. I'm more worried about the inside in the winter. It's dark here a lot. I live in Edmonton.
Mm.
So Edmonton, if you're not familiar with it, that's a great place to be from.
Sure.
I've never actually been to Edmonton, but it doesn't sound awesome.
I've been. It's and? Not awesome. They have an awesome mall, though.
Yeah. There's a reason that most guys in the NHL have a no Edmonton clause in their contract.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the question is, what he wants to know is, does he go for the IS or doesn't he go for the IS?
What does he mention, I guess he doesn't, what the cost of a used 70 to 200 F4 IS version is? Like, what's the difference in price?
I still tend to think it's about double.
I hope not.
What do you imagine?
I'm just thinking used. It might be that new. And again, I don't know. We could probably quickly look this up. But I'm going to guess if the non-IS version is $500 on Craigslist, I'm going to say $750 for the used IS version.
$750 for the used IS, you think?
I'm just wild guess. Don't know that to be true. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm a pretty good Craigslister. So
okay. I'm just doing a quick look on eBay because it's more global versus local.
Yeah.
And there people are asking $800 to $1,000
for the IS version.
The IS version. So here's a guy his starting bid is $750. No bids yet. Buy it now. What are people asking? Buy it now for $1,000. So there you go. So the buy it now price is $1,000. People are asking for more than that even. What do you know? So there you go. So I figured about $1,000. So if you get it for cheaper than that, good for you.
And he's, I mean, I'm just quickly on Craigslist list looking too, just the Vancouver Craigslist, and he's exactly right about the F4 non-IS pops up right away for $500. So
right.
That one I see in supply. Oh, you're right. I see one on for, again, people overcharge, but I see one for $1,100 in my area with right. the IS, which is a giant ripoff. I might as well buy it new at that point.
So tell you what, we'll wait. You just walk down the street, knock on the guy's door, and ask him what his problem is.
Yeah. Oh, and you can get the 7200 replica cup for $20. So I would just get that. Tell him to get the cup.
That's the, well, you tell him. He's listening.
I actually own the cup, and the cup is awesome.
Right. Okay.
Keeps my coffee
warm.
So,
no, but here's the thing. Is first of all, I mean, money is the big issue. If money isn't the issue, you just get the IS version, no question. But in general, how many IS lenses do you own?
I don't think I have one, to be honest.
I don't have a single one. Not yeah. a one. I used yeah. to. I used to have the 17-85 kit lens that was the IS when I bought my 40D, you know, like 8 years ago. That lens broke. I never bought another IS lens.
Yeah. I don't have one. I have the 50mm, which isn't. I have the 85 that isn't. Yep. 7200 that isn't. And a 19-35 that also is not.
Correct. Now, okay. So when I bought my 70-200, it was about 6 years ago.
Okay.
I was debating. I'm like, okay, it was my first real. I think it was my first L lens. It was my first big purchase. I bought it before the 5D, so I bought it for my 40D.
Mm-hmm.
When it was still, you know, brand new, could still had that new camera smell, and mm-hmm. I was debating. I was like, all right, my first big purchase, you know, because I started to make money at photography. Now you know, invest it back in. Do I get the IS? Which version of the lens? Now, there's four of them in Canon, and I think Nikon pretty much has the one. But in Canon, you have four versions.
Yeah. 2.8s, right?
Yeah. IS, non-IS, and you have four IS, non-IS. So that's four different versions. Now, I was debating, what do I get? I wasn't going to get the 2400 at the time, $2,400 for the 2.8 IS.
Right.
Wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
And so it was, for me, it was basically, am I going to get, you know, any of the other three? Because if I remember correctly, ballpark figures, the 2.8 non-IS is roughly the same price as the F4 IS.
Right. They're pretty similar. Yeah.
Ish. I mean, within a couple $100 yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was debating, dude, what do I get? And then, so here was my reasoning, was that I fully anticipated using that lens outside most of the time.
Right.
So that means, you know, when you're outside, you have a decent amount of light. Even if it's, you know, relatively cloudy out, you're going to have enough light to get, you know, at say an ISO of 640 or something like that. You're going to get a high enough shutter speed.
Right.
Okay. So IS doesn't really help you there.
Yeah, because you're always shooting shutter speeds, like you say, over 1/250th of a second.
Oh, and usually higher. I mean, yeah, always the
use it. I use it most of the time at over 1/1000th of a second. Yes,
I absolutely do the same. The other thing is I fully anticipated that I would be using that lens to shoot moving objects.
Okay.
Meaning sports, meaning my kids, whatever it was. At the time, I didn't have kids, but, you know, I figured, you know, other people's kids, whatever it was, I was going to be shooting movement.
Right.
And when you're shooting movement, IS does not help you.
But let me throw in an additional point to that. Think about the other side of it is if you're anticipating using it inside in some kind of studio setup, also IS does not matter.
Because you're using a tripod.
Well, tripod plus you could be using all flash and in which case you're going to get, again, you know, instantaneous kind of freeze and movement. And so the IS is not going to factor in very much as long as you can somewhat hold your camera still.
Right.
You're still getting the equivalent in terms of shutter speed, even though it's saying 1/200th of a second or whatever. But you get that instantaneous, you know, burst of light, which is gonna again take away the need for the IS.
Okay, that's an ish. I'm gonna put a little pin in that. We'll bring that up later because there is a situation where I would disagree with you. That's
if you're using full power of your flash, maybe.
Yes. there are times when I am shooting, you know, even with fill flash or whatever it is, that I would like to have, I would like to be able to hold my camera a little more still. Like, even shooting portraits outside, and I don't want to use high-speed sync. I want to use full flash, which means I'm going to shoot at f11, and I'm okay with that. But at 1/200th of a second, you're going to be using your full power flash to fill. That you pretty much have to.
But we're talking about indoors, right?
Indoors, you're probably not going to use the full flash, the full thing, and indoors you're probably going to use a tripod. But generally, when it comes to using flash is the only time that I would actually like to have the IS. Specifically outside, that is the one when I'm using fill flash, because you're using the full power, you're not going to be able to stop the action like you would.
When does that come up? When? Because I'd twice love a year. To know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. In that respect, is it worth the extra money? And for me, the answer was no.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I learned afterwards. That's something I hadn't considered before buying that lens. Didn't take it into consideration, and then found out after that, oh, this is the one spot where IS would help me, but it happens so rarely that I'd be better off just shooting blurry photos and losing the business.
Right. Yeah. Not really. I think that even in that situation, you can still make it work.
You end up doing it, but what you end up with is you'll end up with more throwaways.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, and I also think that, because I mean, I've done it many, many times with the 7200 inside 1/200th, even 1/180th of a second, because my 6D sync speed is 1/180th of a second. And I have to say, like, less than 10% of out of focus shots handheld at 1/180th of a second when you're using off camera flash. So most of the time, you know, I'm sort of power on the flashes. 1/8 power or less. So again, you're getting a really quick little burst of light, but not an issue whatsoever handheld, because I never use the tripod for inside kind of that sort of studio shots. Just don't like it. Slows me down. And I know we've talked about it, but I never do it. And it really is not an issue as far as focus is concerned.
I agree. Not so much focus, but motion blur.
Okay.
Motion blur. Like vibration or whatever it is that you're, that's going to transmit, and that's what ends up happening. At 200 millimeters, even if you're shooting at 1/200th, they say, you know, the inverse of the focal length is a minimum. You need to be faster, and you need to really pay attention to it. So if you're brand new at this and you don't have your technique down, you're going to get a lot of blurry images in that situation without the IS.
But it will make you better.
It will make you better. That's a great point, is you don't have to rely on the IS to make you a better photographer. So in the end, you ask me, is IS worth it? I say no. And now this is like, keep this in mind, this is our opinion.
Yeah.
It just also happens to be cold hard fact.
Well, and again, it's really like you said off the top, it's going to come down to your finances, right? So if you have an endless flow of cash or a money tree in your backyard, go ahead. It's not going to hurt you to have the IS.
No.
You don't need it, though.
Well, it is going to hurt your shoulder.
Yes.
That's it's true. A heavy lens. It's a very heavy lens.
Definitely heavier, yeah.
In fact, when I was shooting at the Goodwood Festival, I was like, I had fully anticipated shooting second camera and shooting with my 85 millimeter cinema lens for the interview sections. But the way it worked out, we needed a much tighter frame, and I couldn't position the camera where I wanted because of the lighting. So I had to shoot with the 70 to 200 on 200 mils and back up, which is fine. But I was actually the director of photography. He had a full Canon lens kit, and he said, "Oh, here, use mine. Use the 70-200 f/2.8L IS." I said, "Yeah, sure, it's fine. I'm happy to use it. It's a great lens." But he hadn't brought the tripod collar.
Okay.
And so that lens is so heavy that you can't just mount, like, you can't put your camera on the tripod and then mount the lens on the front. It'll basically just, the weight will just, you know, ruin your camera.
Right.
So they have a special lens, a special collar that fits on the lens. That's where you mount the tripod.
Right.
And so if that's the case, imagine carrying that lens around all day on your shoulder.
Yeah.
You're a doctor. Is that a good idea?
No. My official opinion is no, not a good idea. No.
So that was another factor when I thought about it with the 70 to 200. The lens that we have, again, we both have the F4L non-IS. It is relatively light.
Yes.
Like
I mean, all things considered, yeah. I'm not actually a doctor, though. You know that, right?
Fine.
Okay. Yeah. Don't want to misrepresent myself.
I'm not actually hiring you. So, anyways, so very, very relatively speaking, quite a light lens, especially compared to the high end, the $2,400 one, which is very, very heavy. So factor that in. Now, you might find yourself like if you're in Edmonton. In the winter, you're probably going to want to be shooting photos in a hockey rink. I don't want to perpetuate the stereotype, but I'm guessing that's going to happen.
It might happen, yeah.
Hockey rinks are not well lit.
No.
So, and you're probably not going to be getting much use out of your flash, and so now you think, oh, well, I'm going to go with the IS, so I'm going to get, you know, great images at 600, you know, ISO 640 or something like that. I'm going to get nice still images. Well, the players are still skating. Fast.
Yes.
They will, the IS will not stop them. For that, you need shutter speed. That's it. No question.
Right.
So, in that case, what are the alternatives to a 70 to 200?
What are the alternatives?
Well, I mean, first of all, you could go to
the Fanboy lens, the 85mm, or...
Yep.
Or you could probably, like, there's a lens out there that I've seen, well, they get expensive, but if you want a longer zoom, well, not zoom, but a longer prime, there's longer primes out there as well.
There you go. So here's the alternative.
Now, they get expensive, though.
Well, one alternative is instead of the F4, you can go to the F2.8 lens.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, one stop sounds awesome, but that only doubles your shutter speed. Now, you're going to be finding yourself at an ISO in the hockey rink. If you're lucky, you're going to be an ISO 1600.
It's higher than that because I do this.
No, but for me, you shoot at ISO 1600 at an F4, you're looking at like a 1/60th of a second shutter speed.
Oh, yeah. And that's nowhere close to fast enough.
Right. So at an F2.8, you're going to get a 1/125th. That's it. That's not fast enough. So now you're thinking you're going to have to bump your ISO up to like 6400 to get into the range that you need to be.
Yes, and that's exactly where it is. Usually somewhere right. Between 5,000 and yeah. So but that's the beauty of it. If you have a newish camera, right? Yes. The ISO at, you know, 5,000 on the 6D and the 5D3 and probably on the, I don't know about the 5D2, it's pretty awesome still.
Right.
And so you can get your shutter speed in that whatever 1/500th minimum, but 1/1000th of a second range and still look good. So
I never go above 1600 on the 5D Mark II, ever.
Yeah.
It'll go higher, no point.
Yeah, but yeah, and the 5D3 I think is still pretty awesome at that 5,000, 8,000, whatever
it is.
Goes up to 25,000.
So you'd be better off buying the F4 non-IS and putting your money into something that'll handle the ISO. Or the other alternatives are, especially if you're shooting with a crop sensor and you want to shoot hockey, is the 85mm Fanboy lens, the F1.8. I just checked, brand new online, $370 US. Of course, that's $1,200 Canadian right now, so
yeah,
no good in Edmonton.
And
but
your firstborn.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Harper. Yeah. Anyway, so that's, you know, much cheaper. And you're going to get an F1.8, which you start doing the math on from it going from an F4 to an F1.8. Well, that's like 8 times the light pretty much. So that's an awful lot. Now you're getting shutter speeds that you can deal with. And on a crop sensor camera or just cropping it on a right full frame camera, you're going to get decent images. Nothing will be in focus, mind you, because it's at F1.8, but you're going to get enough light.
Right.
Another option is the 135 F2L. Now that's a pricey lens, but F2 you're going to get a lot of light. Now that's, you're talking about doubling the shutter speed twice. So instead of 1/60, now you're looking at 1/250th, which still isn't crazy, but you're going to get amazing images out of that lens. Downside is it's $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you maybe you'd be better off going with the IS at that point. Not for hockey, though. The other option is they make a Canon makes a 200mm f/2.8, and that is $750. So it's basically like the 70-200 f/2.8 without the 72 part,
mm-hmm.
just the 200, but it opens up to 2.8, and it is, you know, what is it, a third of the price?
Yeah, it's much cheaper.
So in terms of what I would consider to be affordable, only one of those is... and that's the 85mm, so that would be your best bet, which you don't want to do because you have the 100mm macro, which is no good for indoor hockey anyway. Now, I'm not saying he's going to shoot hockey, but if you that's what people in Edmonton do. So my advice, if you don't want to spend the money right now, is use the 55-250 until it falls apart. Hammer tent pegs with it. Do not put a UV filter on it. This is my favorite when you see the people at the photo counter at the big box store, the Future Shop or wherever it is, and they're buying the 55-250mm lens for, you know, $42 or whatever it retails for. And then the guy behind, you gotta get the UV filter. Why? Like, if I drop the lens, I'll be trying to hope the lens protects the UV filter at that point. So don't do it. Just my advice is take it out, take it wherever you want. Beat the ever-loving heck out of it. Get as many images out of you as you can, and then throw it in the garbage and upgrade.
Okay.
I threw a couple examples up, by the way, that I should have mentioned that I took this week with the 70-200. Just for an example about why I like this lens so much. So there's a couple examples of my kids that... Just, again, snapshots I grabbed in the backyard. And one of the reasons I suggest buying this lens.
Okay.
Because I also wanted to counter the, hey, we're fanboys only using the 85. I still use my 70-200 now and then.
Yeah, I use it too. I've been using it more and more, to be honest.
Same. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I like to mix things up.
No, I know, me too, but I find myself reaching for it an awful lot now. Yeah.
And for a little while, it was staying on the 5D. The 70-200 was, because mm-hmm. it used to always be I just leave the 85 on it, but the 85's been on my 60, mm-hmm. and the 70-200's been on the 5D, and that's just kind of the grab-and-go camera.
Yes.
Yep. But it's great for the park, because like sometimes I'm not standing right directly next to them, and I can get a whole bunch of a range of different shots without them knowing, so that they're just going to act as if.
Yes, that is why I like the 70-200 as well. So yeah. I'll post a couple of those, and you have a look and see why I like it so much. So I do recommend buying it, but I don't have a UV filter on my 70-200 either.
I don't own a UV filter, so...
I actually do own one. I found one that in a drawer while I was cleaning some things out last week. I have a 72mm wind-on UV filter that I had from a long, long time ago that I'm going to keep. I'm going to use for stuff. I'm going to smear stuff on the lens, on the filter, and use it sort of in front of the lens to add effects to it, like in camera, you know, vignetting or smudging or whatever.
Sure.
That's the best I can suggest for it. Other than that, I'm not going to use it for any protection at all.
Okay.
There you go. Adam and I both use the lens hood that comes with the 70-200. Next week's challenge.
Yeah.
Long lens, man. Use that 70. I say 70-200, but anyone listening wants to do a don't have that, doesn't have that lens, just do a long lens. But for us, it's going to be 70-200.
Okay.
That's it.
Great.
Websites. Adam, where can people find all your non-IS photos?
AdamSchwartz.ca. That's up for renewal. I've got to renew this thing now.
Had a whole year already.
Of a website. That's kind of big. So I'll probably just not renew it. So it'll only be there for another 4 or 5 days. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to renew it. I like having a website.
Welcome to 1999, Mr. Schwartz.
Yes. And your stuff.
You can find my stuff at alnatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find links to everything that we just talked about. And boy, did we talk this week.
Wow.
I left some stuff. There's at least two full paragraphs of notes that I left off the table for next week. So
wow.
Yeah, I know. Just
jam-packed full.
One of those weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, check us out at twohosers.com, and that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.